A gruesome case that will terrorize a safe and sleepy city. A beautiful young woman murdered in broad daylight, mere steps from a well-traveled bicycle path.
Yeah, that was his hunting ground.
A predator who prowls the streets and pathways of Canada's capital in search of innocent prey.
You know, this isn't the first time this guy's done this.
Her brutal death will strike fear into the heart of a community.
Well, I still don't go anywhere alone.
And set in rapid motion the largest search in the history of Ottawa.
It looked from very early on that it was a stranger abduction. They're not easy to solve.
Will police be able to catch the killer before he strikes again? It is early afternoon on August 6, 2003, when Ardith Wood borrows her brother's bicycle and sets off, as she often does, from her parents' home in Orleans on the outskirts of Ottawa. The 27-year-old university student is taking a break from classes at Ontario's University of Waterloo, much to the chagrin of her good friends back on campus.
The last time I saw Ardith, she was standing at the door at my apartment, and I asked her when she would be back, and she told me the date, and I can't remember what it was now, but it seemed like a long time, and I remember she said, "I know, but you can give me a call," and that sort of thing, and then she left.
Jill and Ardith met when they were both working as teaching assistants in the university's philosophy department, and Ardith made quite an impression.
She was very tall and had long blonde hair, and she always had interesting clothes on, and she was beautiful. I was immediately intimidated by her, and I didn't know what to expect, and she turned out to be so much more warm and kind and considerate than I ever would have thought.
The two became fast friends, meeting regularly for coffee and chatting for hours at a time.
Sometimes we would be talking about teaching. Sometimes we would be talking about the future. I don't think she wanted to, you know, sacrifice having a family. I think that was the main goal to her.
The trip home to Orleans gives her the chance to spend some time with her close-knit family. And on this afternoon, Ardith has promised to get back from her bicycle ride in time to go shopping with her mom. It is a typical August day in the Ottawa region, hot and humid. And there is a thunderstorm brewing on the horizon. When the afternoon comes and goes, and the always responsible Ardith has still not returned home, her family begins to worry. They head out looking, but find no sign of her. When night falls, they abandon their search and call police. Early the next morning, the Wood family contacts friends and neighbors, and they meet at Ottawa's Aviation Museum. But the searchers have their job cut out for them, with nearly 200 kilometers of city bike paths and no idea where Ardith was headed. The local media gets wind of her disappearance.
Ardith Wood's parents reported the young woman missing yesterday. And ask anyone with information to call.
Word travels quickly.
Her boyfriend, Kristen, he phoned me at my apartment, and he said, Ardith is missing. And the whole time we were thinking, we'll get a call at any point, and it will be somebody saying, oh, it was a misunderstanding, or, she phoned.
But even the police fear for Ardith's safety.
Right now, they're just searching for a missing girl. At that point, I'm thinking, it's not good.
Co-lead on the case, Jenny Edge, is already anticipating a difficult investigation.
When you're talking about a young woman who's had no police involvement and has led a very normal, very average, very well-behaved lifestyle, it complicates things greatly right from the very beginning.
Because police have nothing concrete to work with, no troubled history, no obvious motive, and not a single suspect, they appeal to the public for any information that could help them get a start. And within minutes, the phones begin to ring. One of the calls is from a young woman who tells police about an unsettling encounter the same afternoon Ardeth disappeared.
She was heading east into Orleans, and the male stops her to ask her some questions. She described him as fairly young, no shirt, light hair, in his 20s, muscular build.
She described him as being quite good looking, but that once he started to talk, he just wasn't quite right. He was a little creepy.
The man tried unsuccessfully to lure her down an isolated pathway. She fled, but he pursued her until she reached the safety of a residential neighborhood.
So we're thinking that this guy is down here. He's a sexual predator and he's in the area.
Philosophy student Ardeth Wood has come home to Orleans, Ontario, just outside of Ottawa, to spend summer vacation with her family. On a hot August day, the 27-year-old borrows her brother's bicycle and heads out for a ride, promising to be back shortly to take her mother shopping. Despite a heavy afternoon thunderstorm, Ardeth fails to return home. The family heads out looking, but finds no sign of her, and they call police. The following morning, friends and neighbors join in the search for the beautiful young woman. But with hundreds of kilometers of bicycle paths and no clear idea where Ardeth was headed, police and volunteers come up empty-handed. When local media reports Ardeth's disappearance, a young woman contacts police. She tells them about her encounter with a man who aggressively tried to lure her off the bicycle path and into the bushes. The witness provides a detailed description of the young man and works with a forensic artist to come up with a composite of the suspect. Co-lead on the case, Jenny Edge.
It's a joint process because she can say, no, the eyes weren't quite like that. Possibly they were turned up a little bit more or more deep set. And they work on it over a number of hours until it's as close to what she recalls as possible.
Police show the composite to Ardeth's family and friends, but no one recognizes the man.
It looked from very early on that it was a stranger abduction. They're not easy to solve because there's nothing to link the victim to the offender. So you don't have a starting spot.
Since police aren't sure that this man had anything to do with Ardeth's disappearance, they hold off on releasing his image to the public for fear of sidetracking their investigation. Then the phone call that will become the major turning point in the Ardeth Wood case. It is from a 16-year-old girl who is sure she saw Ardeth on the bicycle path the very morning she went missing. And what she witnessed that day makes investigators' blood run cold.
She first heard a scream. And she looked up and she looked through the bush. And she said she saw Ardeth talking with a male who seemed very agitated and very animated. She became concerned, the witness did, and she sees Ardeth and the suspect going down a path towards the Greens Creek with their bikes.
Thinking the two could be boyfriend and girlfriend, the young woman hesitates to intervene, but she does follow them briefly down the pathway.
A little further down, she indicated that both bikes that she had seen them on were lying on the ground on the left side of the path.
The witness stops and listens, but hears nothing.
And she indicated to us at the time that she was so concerned there was something wrong that she had her cell phone out. She dialed 911.
She holds her finger over the send button, but never presses it. When the thunderstorm worsens, the young woman heads home.
And as she was leaving, she heard another scream. But she kept going.
When the young girl sees Artis's picture on the news, she calls police, who show her the composite. She confirms that it's the man she saw with Ardith Wood, the same man who tried to lure the other witness into the bush. Both encounters were in the Greens Creek area. Investigators immediately narrow their search. Sergeant Brad Hampson is the search manager.
You would have seen helicopters, search and rescue technicians from Trenton, and then hundreds of trained search and rescue personnel from the Ontario Provincial Police. And then on top of that, you had the actual police officers, untrained search personnel.
And the scores of volunteers who just keep coming.
It ended up, I think, being somewhere almost close to 1,000 people that showed up within the first few days.
Ardith Wood has disappeared while out for a bicycle ride just east of Ottawa. When the media reports her missing, witnesses come forward. One young woman was approached the same afternoon Ardith went missing by a man who tried to lure her into the bush. Another witness saw Ardith arguing with a man near Greens Creek, then watched while the two of them walked down an isolated pathway. Although she heard a scream, she didn't call 911. When it began to storm, she headed home.
And as she was leaving, she heard another scream. But she kept going.
Four days later, the city is the site of the largest search in its history. In addition to hundreds of police, Canadian forces, and search and rescue personnel,
they had close to 1,000 volunteers searching both the wooded area, the parkways, and going door to door within short order.
I think it probably struck a chord with most people in the community, and especially because these are trails that are used by everybody throughout the city of Ottawa.
But it's a phone call from a community on the other side of the Ottawa River that's caught the attention of investigators.
That call came in from a phone booth over in Gatineau, and the gentleman stated it was an accident, I didn't mean to kill her. I took her across the river and buried her in Gatineau.
They send officers to the phone booth, but find no fingerprints, and no way of knowing whether the call was made by a killer or a crank. Back at headquarters, police receive a tip from another female cyclist who recalls details from her conversation with the same strange man on the bike path.
He gives her some very important information that he was from Plantagenet. And it's just an odd, odd name. Not too many people know the town Plantagenet. It's small, it's about 60 kilometers east of Ottawa.
It could well be an important clue to the man's identity. The woman who reported the encounter feels lucky to have gotten away.
She just started biking faster and faster and went home. And the first thing she said to her little sister was, don't go on near the bike path. Stay off the bike path today. There's a weirdo out there.
Back at the Greens Creek search site, police are honing in on the creek itself. What they find is heart-sinking.
The divers were actually working in extremely murky water. I think they almost had zero visibility in there. And so they were just by hand and feel under the water trying to locate any kind of evidence they could. And then we got the information that they had located a bicycle and that it fit the description of the bicycle that Ardith Wood had been riding when she went missing.
It's telling us. It's not going to be good news.
The following morning, 5 days since Ardeth Wood's disappearance.
We called the OPP and requested their cadaver dog. And within short order, they found Ardeth on the east side of the Greens Creek. She was on the ground, about 25 meters from shore, hidden in a little recessed area behind two large trees.
Police inform Ardeth's family that they've finally found her.
They know one way or another now. So there's that relief, but then there's all kinds of new feelings that come in, of course, once they know they've lost their daughter.
Or their best friend.
At first, we thought that she'd been found in the water. So I pictured her in the water. It seemed peaceful to me, and so I was almost comforted by the thought that that's where she had been the whole time. And then we heard that she had been partially buried. Then we knew that somebody else had been involved.
Ardeth Wood, who has been missing for nearly a week, has been found. Her body discovered by a cadaver dog meters from the bank of Greens Creek on the outskirts of Ottawa. The 27-year-old philosophy student had been reported missing 5 days earlier when she failed to return home from an afternoon ride. Ardeth's borrowed bicycle was located submerged in the creek.
When we found out about the bike, we figured out that this was probably a homicide investigation at that point.
The search for Ardeth is the largest in the capital region's history, and the extensive media coverage prompts a flood of calls from witnesses, most of them women. Many had been approached by what appears to be the same strange and aggressive man in the Greens Creek vicinity.
Yeah, that was his hunting ground.
One young woman saw the man and Ardeth arguing and then walking their bicycles down a secluded pathway. The 16-year-old almost calls 911, but thinking it a lover's quarrel, decided to leave them alone. Police cordon off the crime scene and begin the meticulous search for anything that might lead them to Ardeth's killer. Based on algae found in her lungs, investigators know that she drowned in Greens Creek. And though her body was found naked, there is no forensic evidence of sexual assault. Jenny Edge is co-lead on the investigation.
The results all came back negatives. There was no fingerprints, no DNA, no trace evidence of any sort. It was very discouraging to hear that.
Investigators decide to make public the composite of their suspect, despite the potential drawbacks.
It can generate information that really leads you astray. We had people saying that they had seen the man in the composite working at a grocery store. Or, I saw that guy in the composite on the bus last week. Others were very, very detailed, people calling in to say, that's my ex-husband, he has issues with women, I know it's him.
There was about 1,000 tips within 2 days after the composite went out.
One of the investigators assigned to follow up on them is Ian Pidcock.
We were the ones that were responsible to solve this thing. I mean, Ardeth was dead. Somebody had to do right by her.
On a beautiful August morning, Ardeth Wood's body is laid to rest in Ottawa's Notre Dame Cemetery. 600 people attend the service. 1,000 pay tribute on the street outside.
So it was a huge story in Ottawa. People were in shock and the city was worried.
For weeks, police worked their way through an avalanche of tips. But even the most promising produce no strong suspects. On September 10th, over a month since Ardeth Wood's body was found, investigators decide it's time to make public an important detail about the man who may have killed her. According to witnesses who met him on the bicycle path, the suspect has a tattoo. Police release a likeness of the winged eagle seen on his upper arm.
The hopes were that it would provide additional tips, and it did. It provided a huge number of tips.
Anybody that had a bird tattoo, the people were calling in, no matter where it was on their body, on their face, on their chest, anywhere. So we'd run around and chase the tattoo for a while, which kind of bogged down the investigation, but it had to be done.
For months, police do their legwork, sifting through the now nearly 4,000 tips, determined to weed out the man responsible for killing Ardeth Wood.
I had a spreadsheet with all the persons of interest on it and found myself waking up at night sometimes, and I could see them all sort of just scrolling sort of over and over again.
And every day I drove to work, I drive by Greens Creek, and so every day I'm thinking of Ardeth. I'm driving by, I'm going, come on, let's get this solved.
Then in April 2004, 8 months after Ardeth Wood's death, police believe they may finally have found the man who murdered her.
A male from Gatineau who was called in by two different callers very early on in the investigation.
Not only is Gatineau the same community from which police received the anonymous murder confession, this man was also seen in the vicinity.
He was spotted directly across from the crime scene, riding a bicycle. Somebody who passed by said, hey, that guy looks a lot like the cops that drawing.
Police interviewed him at the time.
So something about what he had said or how he had acted just didn't sit right with them.
And they recommended investigators speak with him again.
It was a follow-up interview, but a little bit more probing. And there was something just off on his answers. He was very nervous. He had some behavioral issues. We knew that he biked a lot.
Everything we were looking for, he hit it on. Like, we were looking at the age, 22, blonde hair, well-built.
He had a tattoo similar to the one that we were looking for. And he had been a student at Plantagenet High School. This really sort of elevated him into a higher priority file.
Police convince him the only way to clear his name is to speak to them yet again.
The interview went on for 3 hours. I felt that he had some issues with the impulse control. He had a lot of anger. He talked about how he was like a scorpion under a rock. You never knew what they were going to do.
And this scorpion had no alibi for the day of the murder. Police put a surveillance team on his tail to see what he does.
And we get pretty high on him. We follow him around for about a week and a half. We like everything we see. And then we bring him in for a polygraph.
Will their suspect pass or fail?
We're so anxious. We're so excited that we have this terrible homicide solved.
It's been 8 months since the grisly discovery of Ardeth Wood's body on the banks of Greens Creek just outside of Ottawa. Police determined that the 27-year-old university student had been drowned. A thorough search of the crime scene produces no DNA evidence. One young witness recalls seeing Ardeth walking her bicycle down a secluded path with an unidentified man, whom others describe as odd and aggressive. Investigators release a likeness of the suspect and a composite of his tattoo, resulting in a flurry of tips from the public.
We had like 1,000 calls. We were up to 1,000 calls within 2 days.
Including some about a man who lives in the same community from which police received an anonymous confession to Ardeth Wood's murder. The Gatineau resident bikes a lot, matches the description of the suspect, and has a tattoo.
I'm thinking it's going to be hard to clear this guy.
He agrees to a polygraph, and though the results can't be used in court, they can indicate to investigators they've got the right suspect in their sights.
We were quite anxious to see what happened with this thing. We were all cramped into the tiny little monitoring room for the polygraph, waiting.
It had taken investigators weeks to assemble their case against the Gatineau man. They watch it fall apart in mere minutes.
He passed with flying colors.
And we went from the top of the roller coaster to the bottom in like a second. It's hard not to all of a sudden just lose all hope.
On August 6, 2004, the community marks the one-year anniversary of Ardeth Wood's murder. And investigators seem no closer to catching the man who committed it. From the tips that continue to pour in, police have identified hundreds of possible suspects. Some are cleared immediately. Others are moved to the back burner. Like a 23-year-old Ottawa resident by the name of Christopher Myers. Case co-lead, Jenny Edge.
Christopher Meyer met a lot of our criteria, but at the very initial time that he was interviewed as a person of interest, he provided an alibi, provided the name of the person he'd been at home with and that he'd gone to work after that.
What's more, Myers had no tattoo. Police turned their attention to other persons of interest. Then, on a summer evening in 2004, a man approaches a young woman on an Ottawa street. He engages her in conversation. She asks him for a cigarette, and he offers to get her one from home. When she steps into the entranceway of his apartment building, he drags her into the basement and attacks her in the laundry room. Police on this case suspect Christopher Myers, but at the time have no evidence to charge him. That's when Ardeth Wood investigators hear about the assault and decide to interview him a second time. But Myers disappears, and it's not until February 2005 that they track him down. Detectives Ian Pidcock and Dave Smith arrive at Myers' apartment unannounced.
He came out and met us on his doorstep. And I was struck, this guy does look like the cops. When he started to speak, I noticed that he had these crowded teeth. And I thought back to what one of the witnesses had said. It was like he had too many teeth in his mouth, the suspect. I thought, oh, geez, that's interesting. Can't ignore that.
But what about a bird tattoo on his upper arm? Investigators ask him.
Chris, can we just see if you have any tattoos anywhere? He took his whole shirt off, and it was nothing there.
But police are convinced Myers is hiding something. And while they can't make him take a polygraph, they can ask him to. Myers reluctantly agrees to the test.
And I notice his body language changed. And it was, he started to bounce a little bit off the wall, and it was indications of nervousness.
Myers never shows for his polygraph. And investigators decide to take another look at his alibi the day of the murder.
He worked at a particular restaurant down in the market, and he had a time card that showed on that particular day he punched in at around 3:30.
Myers was seen by his landlady at home late that morning. Was it possible he could have biked out to Greens Creek for 1 o'clock when witnesses saw Ardeth with the man on the pathway, then had time to get back home before heading to the restaurant for his shift? Detective Smith bikes the route with time to spare.
It just proved that it is physically possible, even without a car, to get that far away, do what he did, get back home and go to work as though nothing happened.
But without hard evidence, police have their hands tied. Then on the night of April 23rd, 2005, a young woman, similar in appearance to Ardeth Wood, is making her way home along the interprovincial bridge between Ottawa and Hull, Quebec.
She was approached by a male on a bicycle who tried to engage her in conversation.
She tells him to leave her alone, and he starts to ride away.
Then suddenly turned, came back, and grabbed her and dragged her into a bush.
She manages to fight him off. He steals her purse and takes off. The incident is reported as a robbery, and the Ardeth Wood investigation team doesn't learn about it for nearly a month. That's when the attacker strikes again. May 11th, 2005. North Bay, Ontario. In the early hours of the morning.
A young woman, again, similar in appearance to Ardeth, was walking home. Approached by a male on foot. Again, asking her where she was going, could he walk with her?
He tells her he's looking for a particular street, and she sends him off in that direction.
He reappeared suddenly a couple of minutes later, grabbed her and dragged her into some bushes.
He twists her neck with such force, she says she thought it would snap. The woman fights back, kicking and screaming.
A homeowner came out and interrupted the assault, and the suspect ran away, leaving his cell phone behind.
It is more than a year since Ardeth Wood's death, and police seem no closer to catching her killer. The man investigators were convinced had committed the murder easily passed his polygraph.
It just takes the wind out of your sails completely.
Then police learned that a man they had already spoken with early on in the Ardeth Wood case might now be connected to a recent sexual assault. His name is Chris Myers, and investigators decide to interview him again. Not only is the 24-year-old a dead ringer for the composite, he appears nervous at the idea of a polygraph, then never shows up for the test. Police review Myers' alibi and determine that he did have time to travel by bicycle to Greens Creek, commit the murder, and return in time to punch in at his restaurant job shortly after 3:30.
But we don't have evidence. We don't have smoking gun.
Then in April of 2005, a young woman is sexually assaulted while crossing an Ottawa bridge, and another attacked in May while making her way home in North Bay. The assailant drops his cell phone at the North Bay scene, and police trace it to an Ottawa woman who says it belongs to her son. His name is Christopher Myers. While North Bay officers prepare to arrest their sexual assault suspect.
We had two of our robbery investigators up in North Bay. They caught wind of the sexual assault. He said that guy has a lot of similarities to the Ardeth Wood killer.
Might investigators have finally found their man? And can they assemble the evidence they'll need to bring him to justice? Kinnear heads to North Bay to interview Myers, who's just been picked up by local police on his return from a week-long bike trip.
You know, he's a little dirty, he's disheveled, but his demeanor is very calm.
Hey, Chris.
I go in and I tell him I'm with the Ottawa police and I want to talk to you about the Ardeth Wood killing. And he said, oh yeah, I've already been spoken to about that several times, because he had been.
I've never murdered anybody in my life. I'm like, whatever, cool.
So I explained to him, like, go on the polygraph. Take the polygraph, and if it clears you, we're off your tail. We just want you off our plate. And he agreed.
Yeah, no, I'll take the polygraph.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
While police arranged to return Myers to Ottawa for the test,
Jerry and I went out and spoke with Chris's ex-girlfriend.
She tells them that he was physically abusive towards her and sexually aggressive with her friends. That he regularly biked the pathways in and around Ottawa and often rode the streets of the city late into the night. And they confirm that Chris Myers went to school in Plantagenet, just like the cyclist who had aggressively approached young women on the pathway the day of Ardeth Wood's murder. Although Myers has repeatedly proved to police he has no tattoos, his former girlfriend provides the missing piece to the investigator's puzzle.
She said he would use the, you know, little fake stick-on tattoos that we used to use as kids. And he just loved these things. And she did tell us that he had one similar to what we were looking for at the time.
Police are now certain that Myers is their murderer. Will a polygraph confirm it? Over the course of 5 hours, the examiner repeatedly asks Myers.
In August of 2003, were you the one who caused the death of Ardeth Wood?
His answer is always the same. But the polygraph results tell her otherwise.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, Chris, that you're responsible for our deaths and death.
I knew in my mind it was him. Now, knowing if I can prove it is a different matter.
No matter what anybody says, whatever a machine says, nothing. I did not kill nobody, period.
Given the resemblance of Ardeth Wood to the victim of the Ottawa Bridge assault.
A little smaller in stature, but very similar in physical appearance.
And the similarities between the two attacks.
He approached her and then tries to strike up conversation and says, do you want to hang out?
Investigators bring the sexual assault victim in to try and identify her assailant.
She was shown the lineup, including Chris Myers. And verbally, she didn't say, that's him, but physically, she was almost violently ill.
But even if Chris Myers is guilty of multiple sexual assaults, there is no evidence to charge him with murder. Forensic results showed no sign of sexual assault against Ardeth Wood and no DNA left at the crime scene.
And there's not a piece of clothing, there's not a piece of identification. We had zero evidence from the scene to link Ardeth to Christopher Myers. The whole case rested on a statement coming from him.
On October 13, 2005, more than 2 years after the murder of Ardeth Wood, police prepare for what could be their final interview with the man who they believe killed her. When Ottawa resident Christopher Myers drops his cell phone at the scene of a North Bay sexual assault, local police track him down and arrest him. That's when an officer notes the 25-year-old's resemblance to the composite in the Wood homicide and contacts Ottawa investigators. Jerry Kinnear travels to North Bay to interview Myers and convince him to take a polygraph. He fails. Meanwhile,
Jenny and I speak with his most recent girlfriend, who supplies a ton of information on him and makes him look very interesting.
And when one of the sexual assault victims clearly identifies Christopher Myers from a photo lineup, investigators are certain Myers attacked and killed Ardeth Wood. But proving it is another matter. Police need a confession from Myers, and the man whose job it is to get it is top-notch interviewer Martin Graham.
To immediately bring the subject back to that time, so what we had done is we created maps, we'd put up his mugshot from the time against the composite below, and number of sightings of him.
But will the strategy work?
Chris Myers?
Yes.
Nice to meet you. Detective Sergeant Martin Graham.
Graham decides to play hardball.
Yep.
We know what time Ardeth Wood went missing. We know you were there. We know you spoke to her.
But Myers isn't buying in.
But it wasn't.
So when did you meet her?
I never have.
Chris, it's not an issue.
How? I don't know what the woman looks like.
I'm not interested.
Graham realizes he's made a crucial mistake. One that could cost him the confession.
He hadn't bought into it in any shape or form because he literally told me, you have nothing on me. You have nothing.
Like, Jesus,
come on, tell me.
There's no DNA because I'm not there.
That's...
If there was DNA, you guys have already arrested me for it.
Why?
Graham changes tactics, gradually becoming Myers' confidant.
He said, well, listen, you know one of the things that I'm happy to do? Can I get you a glass of water or something? We can talk through this. Let's get it from the back of your head. I know it's not going to be easy to talk about. I know that.
The way he would speak with him, you know, it's almost like a father-son. You know, it's all right, you can tell me. You can tell me. And he just started giving it up.
She puts down her speed bike. You put down your mountain bike. Hug and kissed. And then what?
Show me what you did. All right? Pretty rough. Come here, stand up. Because you know what? One of the best things you can do and the easiest ways to recall memory is to relive it. So you tell me what you did, everything you did. Put your hands forward. Yeah?
Kissed.
And what did she do?
And then she kissed back.
Yep.
And then the girl walked up and then I took off.
And then you took off?
Yep.
Although Myers doesn't directly admit to murdering Ardeth Wood, he does confess to meeting her on the bicycle path.
If you'll excuse me for a minute, Chris, is there anything I can get you?
Graham gambles that Chris Myers is prepared to admit to more.
I'll tell you what you can do for me. What I want you to do is draw in your best hand, whatever you can remember, where you stood, where the bikes were and everything else, okay? We'll be all right. We'll carry on in a few minutes, okay?
To investigators' relief, Myers takes the bait, providing police with the kind of detail only someone who'd been down at the creek with Ardeth would know.
Putting himself on the bike path, we thought was enough for him to be charged. That was that link we were looking for, was him putting himself there.
From what you told us today, okay, there's absolutely no doubt in mind, obviously you are responsible for physically causing the death of Ardeth Wood, okay, on August the 6th, 2003. Obviously, I'm obliged to tell you that you're going to be charged with physically causing her death, okay? Do you understand that?
We don't know what he said to get her to go down that path. We'll never know that. That's the big question. My feeling is that he meant to sexually assault her and that it went bad.
He gets her down the path and he gets her clothes off. Ardeth's a very good swimmer. And we believe that her avenue escape is Greens Creek. And we believe she jumped in the water to get away. And we believe he just jumped in after and ended up drowning her. He didn't go down there to do that, but he panicked. I believe he panicked, and that's the end result.
On January 8th, 2008, Christopher Myers is sentenced to second-degree murder in exchange for also pleading guilty to numerous sexual assaults. His sentence carries with it no chance of parole for 10 years, at which point Myers will be nearly 40 years old. For the investigators on the case, it concludes a 4.5-year quest to honor Ardeth Wood by bringing her killer to justice. For more information, go to myviva.ca/murder she saw.